Jeremiah imprisoned. The siege is over. Babylon's conquered Jerusalem. The wall's been breached. Verse 15, meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, for you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be prized as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we continue on through your word and through this season, and through our life's journey, we ask, Lord, that you would direct our focus, our heart. You would settle our hearts upon you and your presence. And Lord, do stir up, renew a hope, a trust, a faith in you for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The children's already dismissed, or they can be dismissed. This morning we're going to look at a block of Jeremiah. Briefly, quickly, we're going to look at 5 or 6 chapters. Just a flyover. You ever see that ESPN, you know, thing in 60 seconds? You know, news around the world. Just a quick synopsis. Then we're going to talk about some things that are in there. Jeremiah, continuing to prophesy in chapter 34, prophesies to Zedekiah regarding the covenant to set the slaves free at the end of 7 years. The Jewish slaves held by the Hebrews were to be let go according to the covenant, according to the law. At first they kept the covenant, and then they changed their mind and reverted back to the transgression. And that was what was emphasized. You broke my covenant. The transgression of God's word in chapter 34. Chapter 35 we're going to look at a little closer. It's about the Rechabites. And the Rechabites really set forth an example of loyalty and keeping their word, in contrasting the Jews there in Jerusalem and how they broke the covenant of God and how they broke their word agreement they made with God. Chapter 36, Jeremiah is instructed to compile a book from the beginning of his ministry, some 23 years. Take this down, Jeremiah. The Lord speaks to Jeremiah in chapter 36. So Jeremiah dictates the book to Baruch, scribe, recording, you know, the whole prophecy on a scroll, compiling a book. Then, following the completion, Jeremiah tells Baruch, now go out and share these words in public. And he does, and then creates an uproar. Then he stashes the scroll. Then they come after Jeremiah and Baruch and imprison them. And though Jeremiah was confined already, and king destroys the book, takes the scroll, puts it in the fire, destroys it. The end of the chapter, God tells Jeremiah, write it again. Real example that God's word cannot be, you know, destroyed. We'll look at that a little more. Chapter 37. Jeremiah, there was a little lapse of seeming coming against really what Jeremiah was prophesying. For Pharaoh and the Egyptian army came against the Babylonian army. And as a result, the Babylonian for some time retreated. The siege really stopped for a season. Well, in that time period, they, you know, thought it was over. They got hold of some false hope. And but things turned around. Jeremiah prophesied again that don't be deceived. You know, this isn't permanent. They're coming back and they're going to take the city captive. And as a result, got some, you know, bad response. Jeremiah thrown in prison, several times through this passage. But affirming that the Babylonians will have victory. Chapter 38, the leaders of the resistance, those that were against Jeremiah, Jeremiah's prophecy against Babylon, Babylon's takeover, sought to kill Jeremiah. During the seeming siege retreat of the Babylonians and the stop of the siege, Jeremiah, you know, left the city. He was hungry. You know, he's probably just going to go to Anathoth, you know, maybe go get some bread. Well, he was mistaken for defecting to the enemy. So they, you know, they're just looking for a reason to come against him. So they falsely accused him of leaving to defect to the enemy. And again, he's imprisoned. Jeremiah, one time in this passage, is the fervor of hatred towards Jeremiah by these leaders of the resistance wanting to kill him. They lowered him down into a dungeon. This was the worst of his imprisonments. It was an old cistern that no longer had water. Just had some residue on the bottom of it. I don't know how deep it was. But mire. He was lowered down in this deep, dark, cold, damp muck. Left there to die. No light, no food. So he's lowered down in there. As a result of their, you know, attitude and the resistance against God's word, he's released there at the end by a eunuch of the king. But chapter 39, the Babylonians are backed. The timetable's there. 2 years it took for the siege to take effect. The walls breached. They came in. They attacked. Zedekiah tried to flee, to escape the Nebuchadnezzar. He's captured. His sons are killed before him. His advisors killed. His eyes are put out, and he's drugged by fetters and chains to Babylon. Just a happy message this morning. But in truth, though, there is some interesting, you know, instruction I see in here. One is beginning with the Rechabites, the loyalty of the Rechabites. Chapter 35. The Rechabites, because of the Babylonian captivity and siege, came and sought refuge in Jerusalem. So now they're in Jerusalem, though they were like Bedouins. You know, they lived in tents. They lived simple life, kind of like the Mennonites. They lived outside the city, hustle and bustle. And they made a vow some 300 years ago when a dead ancestor, Jonadab, that they wouldn't drink wine. And according to this vow, they kept their word and their loyalty. Now they're now outside of their tents and their community out there in the desert. Now they're in Jerusalem, in the city. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah and said, hey, put bowls of wine before them. Tell them to drink wine. You doing it for an object lesson, for an example. So he puts the wine before the Rechabites and he says, drink wine. Oh, no, we can't drink wine, they said. For we've, you know, we kept a command by Jonadab, our ancestor. And really their loyalty was marked as a lesson of, you know, an object lesson in contrast to those in the city in Jerusalem. For, you know, look how loyal they are to a dead ancestor that they made an agreement with, a covenant with 300 years ago. And look how disloyal, God speaking, my people are, the Jews, to me, a living God, not dead. And breaking my covenant, breaking my word. So he's using the Rechabites and their loyalty as an example to contrast the disloyalty of the people and their transgression. Loyalty will be rewarded. disobedience punished. There's, you know, through this, you know, five chapter block, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, I see a treatment of God's Word, where He's, you know, instructed to compile it in a book. And He shares it, though the adversity and opposition He was getting. And then those, how they responded to it, really the mistreatment of God's Word. In chapter 37, verse 2, King Zedekiah gives his attitude towards God's Word, but neither he nor his servants, nor the people of the land, gave heed to the words of the Lord, which He spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. Didn't give a hoot. Didn't care about the Word, about the Bible, about God's Word. Really marking King Zedekiah and his servants' disregard for God's Word. And really, through here, it kind of marks, you know, their reasons, their attitude, their heart, and, you know, reasons why they didn't give a heed towards God's Word, what they did give a hoot about. In chapter 37 and 38, Zedekiah arranges several meetings with Jeremiah. Many times he's released out of prison and he's meeting with Zedekiah in private. It's a secret meeting. He seeks God to a point, is really what is exemplified in his meeting. And he really wants to get together, hear what God says, but he really doesn't want to come under what God's telling him to do or come under submission to what God is commanding him to do. You know, going to the meetings and yet in listening to the Word is really what he's doing when he calls Jeremiah in secret. Three interviews with Jeremiah. One, he sent priests, and two, private meetings. What does God say? Zedekiah, you know, questions Jeremiah, but not with a heart of submission. So he sought God to a point. He feared God to a point. Because at first he kept the covenant to free the slaves. And then it reversed. The people, you know, changed their mind. So he feared God to a point. He sought God to a point. He was self-deceived. Look in chapter 37, verse 9. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying that the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. When the Babylonians, you know, as a result of the incoming Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, you know, retreated, they were all pumped. Hey, that is over. Things have changed, turned around. And yet, in a false security, they were pumped. In a false hope, for it wasn't lasting. It wasn't the truth. They were self-deceived. Don't deceive yourself, Jeremiah told them. Misplaced hope. They feared God to a point. They sought God to a point. They were self-deceived. Example of those that disregard God's Word. The Bible tells of Zedekiah that he had a fear of man. In chapter 38, look in verse 19. And when during one of his times with Jeremiah, Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. I can't surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm afraid of those that already surrendered. You know, changing my position. But showing he had a fear of man. Sought God to a point. Feared God to a point. Really, in the midst of self-deception. And they he had a fear of man, overtaken. Zedekiah really gives an example, I see, is one that, you know, would try to rule over God's Word rather than let it rule over him. For he sought God to a point. He played with it. He meddled with seeking God. He meddled and played with listening and obeying to God. But as a result of his life choices, he tried to escape Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar breached the wall, the siege finally, you know, took its effect. They captured Jerusalem. Zedekiah and his advisors tried to outrun God's word. For it was prophesied all along what was going to happen. He didn't take heed. He didn't give a hoot. He didn't listen. He didn't fear God. And now it's taking place. It's the realization of the prophecies coming into effect. The Babylonians captured Jerusalem. He tries to outrun God's rule, basically. Look in chapter 39, verse 4. So it was when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out by way of the plain. But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. Can't outrun God's word. He sought to rule over it, rule it out, disregard it. And for all his reasons, fear of man. You know, he meddled with seeking God to a point, feared God to a point. But you can't rule it out. You can't run from it. For it, God's word will come to pass. And this isn't something that was just pronounced once. Jeremiah, for 23 years, was prophesying the reality of the Babylonian invasion. Zedekiah refused to take heed. He didn't give a hoot. Example of one that really didn't he disregarded, tried to rule over God's word. Jehoiakim, another king mentioned in this five chapter block, instead of trying to rule over it, kind of gives an example of trying to rule it out. He's the one. Look in verse 23 of chapter 36. In 23, the Bible tells us, and it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns, the king commanded that the scroll be brought to him. I want to read it. And as Jehudi started to read it, three or four columns, a portion of the scroll, the book, the king cut it up with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. He tried to destroy it. He tried to burn it, which is, you know, still a satanic ritual, taking the Bible and burning it as if it's going to do anything. But he, as soon as he heard it, you know why he had such a response? Because it disagreed with his whole idea. Hey, we will rule over Babylon. Babylon won't take us over. Disagreeing with God's word, he tried to rule it out. By destroying it, he took the scribe's pen and knife, cut it up in pieces, so he threw it in the fire. You know, as some today still use the pen to come against God's word. Higher critics, liberals, they seek to nullify, invalidate God's word by their garbage coming against it. And documentaries on the PBS. Where these liberals will get up and say, well, you know, God's word, it's not, you can't take it literal. It's not an absolute. Whereas, you can't destroy it. He sought to throw it in the fire and to burn it. Hey man, if I can just cease, you know, put it out of my mind, get rid of it out of my life, it'll invalidate it. Like, that's going to happen. Right. He tried to burn it, but the Bible tells us that my word is like a fire. You can't burn God's word. It's eternal. And as a result, Jehoiakim, Jeremiah just was instructed to write it again. The heart of unbelief, not in agreement with it, tried to get rid of it. You know, and that mentality of what tries to indoctrinate us when we go to school is secularism, humanistic secularism. You know, that stupid story about if a tree fell in the forest and there was no one there to hear it, would it make a sound? That's idiotic. Yes, it would make a sound. It would make a sound because when a tree hits the ground, it reverberates the sound waves and it makes noise. But see, in their mind, they're saying, hey, if you're not there to witness it, it's not part of you, then it's not your reality. And thus, if you take the Bible and it's not part of your circulation, it's not in your mind, you don't accept it as a reality. Therefore, it doesn't exist. You can get rid of it. You can burn it out of existence as if you can rule it out. We can't rule it out. Nor could Jehoiakim. Nor could Zedekiah. Two kings. No one can rule out God's word. It's not designated to be ruled out. They try to avoid it. And, you know, many try to avoid it and rule it out and rule it over it because they don't want to be accountable to it. The realities, the realization, the dynamics of God's truth, that there's a God and He created us and He monitors the way we live and He desires that we make right choices and follow a righteous path and accept His Son. The accountability cannot be ruled out or destroyed or ruled over. Can't stop it. Two examples of, you know, how Jehoiakim tried to rule it out. Zedekiah tried to rule over it. But God's word is meant to rule over us. It's meant to rule over man. That's in here. Look in chapter 36, verse 2. Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, the days of Josiah, even to this day, 23 years. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God's word is designated with a purpose to bring us deliverance and freedom. That when we read it, we would take heed to it and find mercy and grace. Deliverance, the way of escape, the only way of escape, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I might forgive their iniquity, find forgiveness, forgiveness of our sin. It's a message from God. God said, take this down, Jeremiah. It comes from heaven. The word. It's a revelation given by the Lord, and the purpose of it that He might grant forgiveness and mercy and grace. In it, He gives us a warning how to avoid judgment. Look in verse 20, chapter 36, at the end, and to all the words in the hearing of the king, wrong verse. He told Zedekiah that if he would listen to God's word, he would be spared. He told all the people, it would be well with you. If you take heed to God's word, your life will be a prize to you. You listen, take heed to God's word, you'll find deliverance and freedom and life. It's for our benefit. It's for our well-being. You know, we can't rule over it and rule it out, and we can't run from its rule. The voice of the Lord speaks deliverance. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you, so that it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. If we listen to it, take heed to it, it brings deliverance. It brings healing. Sent forth His word for healing, the Bible tells us. Deliverance. Do I need deliverance? Do we need healing? You know, Jeremiah's in the system. He's so faithful to his ministry. Imprisoned, beaten, left for dead, in that dark dungeon, you know, up to his waist or whatever, in muck, cold, damp, without food, going to die. During the siege, he's in prison. And yet, faithful to his ministry. You know, you think of being down lower, down low. You know, I feel low. It's getting cold. I get kind of, low. I don't want to say depressed. But maybe it is. You know, I don't like the cold weather, and it does something to my whole being, you know. I'm a warm weather person. And yet, you know, deliverance. And then we watch the news, and the news is like broadcasting murder and crime and rape and everything negative. And then, by no accident of design, are all these, you know, chemical commercials. Hey, are you depressed? Take Solalis. Take Solalis. Check with your daughter first. You know, it may cause loss of sight, loss of hearing, death, you know, paralyzed, suicide. But take one if you're depressed. But if we're depressed, we're to call out upon him. He brings deliverance. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you so that it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. There's only one alternative for us, and that's to come under its rule. Can't rule it over it, can't rule it out, can't run from its rule. We have to submit to him. We have to come under his rule. There's no other options. We can fight him. We do fight him in our, you know, sinful, rebellious nature oftentimes. But to submit to his rule is really our only option. Foolish to think that one can change that. You know, they took the, Jehoiakim took the scroll as if he's going to eliminate the accountability and try to burn it. Take the Bible and burn it. Put it out of your sight. Don't read it. That's it. I'm done with God. Try to avoid it and avoid its accountability. It's foolish. I got a little note here. It's foolish to think one can change the temperature by smashing a thermometer with a hammer. Stupid. We can't change the accountability of God's Word or the truth of God or the reality of God. If a tree falls in a forest, does it make noise? Yes, it makes noise. It makes a big noise, just like it would be if we were there. Closer, the louder it is. The reality of God's Word cannot be invalidated. He who is the Word of God rose from the grave. I notice, you know, that the Word came from heaven. God spoke to Jeremiah, and it says that the Word came from the Lord. Whenever Jeremiah spoke, the Word of the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. The message of Jeremiah comes from heaven. Heavenly attributes and characteristics. Everything on earth can be burned. I remember talking to someone years ago, you know, and he said, everything on this planet can be burned. And I said, no, rocks. And then he said, lava. Everything can be burned except for God's Word. God's Word is eternal. It comes from heaven. It's going to outlast this world and material realm. I like what 1 Peter, Peter and 1 Peter, turn to 1 Peter, what he comments about God's Word. Can't burn it, can't rule it out, can't rule over it, can't run from its rule, can only submit to its rule. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, look in verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Incorruptible seed that abides forever, eternal. See, it's got that characteristic of heaven, eternity, that really sparks the new life within us so that we can take part in eternity with the Lord. He goes on, all flesh is of is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The word of God. The gospel. Jesus died, buried for 3 days, raised from the dead, ascended to heaven. That's the word of God to submit to. Let's stand. The word can't rule over it, can't rule it out, can't run from his rule. Only leaves one alternative: to bow before him and submit to his rule. Let's pray. Lord, we do turn to you, and we thank you, Lord, for your patience with us and your love with us, for us, and the mercy and the grace, your desire to extend mercy and forgiveness and pardon to us. And Lord, we do come before you. We ask, Lord, that you would eradicate these ideas in our mind, fear of man, the idea that, you know, we can flirt or meddle with your word as if we put it out of our mind, it won't be real. We ask, Lord, that you lay your hand upon our minds, our hearts. Lord, according to your promise, your word is, your law is written in our hearts. Transform us, Lord. Conform us according to your rule, according to your word, according to your spirit. Lord, we look to you, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord, for the truth of the word and the realization of the accountability, the promise that are for real. We submit to you afresh. We ask that you have your way in us, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen.